Amen. Please kneel. Heavenly Father, thank you so very much for this blessed Sabbath day. Especially this one, as we have been, you know, working towards this for 5 weeks. Yeah, we ordinarily do it for 1 or 2 weeks, but you had us try a little harder. And so thank you for blessing us with this Sabbath day, letting us get to where we needed to be, so that when we have communion in a few moments after the study, that we will be blessed, you will be honored, and your Son will be glorified. And if we have aught against any of our brothers or sisters, Father, please reveal it to us so that we can repair those issues before we come forth, you know, to the altar. Thank you also for forgiving us and cleansing us and blessing us. Because even during the 5 weeks, many of us may have sinned, but we trust you and we love you, and we know that you're not a tyrant. And 1 John 1:9 says that you have forgiven us and cleansed us from all unrighteousness. And so we come to you as pure as we possibly can. So please bless us with your presence when we go into study, and then later when we do the ordinance of humility as well as the supper. And we thank you, Father, for blessing all those that are on our prayer list as well, especially those that we mentioned last night in the text chat. We love you and we trust you. We worship you. And we thank you for hearing this prayer in the name of your Son, who is our Savior and our King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. Okay. I want to welcome Donnie and Theodore. Donnie's been here a few times. I guess Donnie doesn't want to text. I never got an email from him, that's why. But Theodore, if you want to text, send an email to me, and then I'll send it to a brother who handles the server. So, okay. And if you're new, I think Theodore's been here before, so just for the sake of repeating, the study notes are underneath the chat room. You can scroll down, and if you're using a cell phone, it's quicker just to click where it says Sabbath Study, and it'll just bring you right down there real quick. We are on question number 12. In Lesson 29. And Lesson 29 is titled The Spirit of Prophecy. And it's one amazing study, I got to say. So, it starts off, and question number 12 says, how did God reply to some who inquired of him? Now, I got a pop-up that comes up on my screen every now and then. It has a statement from Ezekiel, but it's not this one. And reminds me of this, though, in regards to the way some people will cry out to the Lord when they're, you know, not worthy to do so. It says in Ezekiel 20, verse 3, thank you, Brother Sean. It says, Son of man, speak unto the elders of Israel, and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, are ye come to inquire of me? As I live, saith the Lord, I will not be inquired of by you. That's right. Some people will never have their prayers answered, and we as Christians can understand why that will be the case. The key here is always, and will always be, obedience. Yeah, the truth is, this is why the churches of the world today are so weak. They break God's law each and every week, and they teach others to do the same. There's actually a Bible verse that declares that's deadly to not only break God's law, but to teach others to do the same. These people are not Christians. You know, they're pastors especially, but they're not obedient Christians that sit in the pews, especially after the loud cry goes forth and the decision has to be made in regards to the mark of the beast. I mean, they break God's law every week. And they deny his will in everything from the health message to dress reform. And then, as expected, because the Lord has done this. I mean, look at the Old Testament in regards to how many times the Lord sent chastisement onto the people when they were disobedient to try to get them to realize that he's Lord and they need to get right. And so when disaster strikes, because it's gonna, and it doesn't matter if you're Christian or not, it's gonna happen. These people cry out to God, only to find that their prayers are being ignored completely. And yes, when that happens, the people that are in sin will openly and quite graphically begin to blame God for not answering them. This is something Satan has been able to confuse mankind into doing for eons. I mean, it's really sad to watch. And some people don't blame him, of course. They just crumble up and they realize that they're not, you know, they're lost when something crazy happens and they're trying to figure out how to pray. Now, the babe in Christ, yeah, a lot of times the Lord's hand will move right there. And it turns that life around and they become a strong Christian from that day forward. But a lot of times people have already claimed Christ Lord. But as we see here in Ezekiel 20, that's what they were doing. But they're going out and, you know, running around doing what they want. Like Isaiah chapter 4 verse 1 talks about, because a lot of people are like that today. They're going to read the Bible the way they want to read it. They're going to walk the way they want to walk. They just want to be called Christians to take away their shame. So the man commits the sin. The man then steps outside the will of God. And in so doing, separates himself from the only source of blessings. And worse yet, his sinfulness demands that God leave him totally alone in life, because that's literally the decision of mankind when they embrace sin. They're saying, oh, no, no, no. I know what the Bible says. I know what's right. I know what's wrong. I'm going to choose wrong because it's kind of fun. And so they totally leave, ask God to leave them alone. And when the expected trial and disaster strikes, it is only then the man seems to think it's proper to go to God for help now. Satan knows this. And he knows this is how it will always happen. And so he does all he can to assure that by the time he sends the disaster for the, you know, to the man or the woman, he has plenty of false theology pumped into that person all throughout the years of them embracing their sins that makes the man or the woman believe they can still claim God as their God, so that when the prayers fail, as Satan knows they will, because Satan knows Ezekiel 20 verse 3, so when their prayers fail, the anger is going to erupt in the hearts of these people. And it is so often the case in today's end time society, especially because the overwhelming majority out there are just plain strange. The man suddenly decided, because God doesn't answer him, that now God doesn't exist, and he becomes an atheist, and it's all his own fault, and Satan's just laughing it up. And he's got another one in the trophy case. You know, let me ask you this. If the police in our world were structured in the same way mankind structures God in their minds, perhaps some eyes would open up. What I mean is, if we as citizens have the option, or had the option, to tell the police to, you know, stay away from us in all aspects of life. I mean, I want to delve into all sorts of criminal activity. I want to have a blast. Just leave me alone. I want to do my drugs. I want to do my robberies. I want to kill people I don't like. Just leave me alone. And then some people would think, well, that's an exciting lifestyle. The anarchist would, of course, embrace that one. But still, some people would say, that's great. Yeah, just stay away from me, copper. You know, just stay away. But when the inevitable occurs, wherein their actions cause major danger to come upon them personally, would they now blame the police department, who, after they called 911, said to them that they have a contract with them stating that the police, all police involvement in their lives, was to be refused from that day forward? No, I don't think they would understand and realize they literally asked the police to stay away. So why is it these people can't see they are doing the exact same thing? I think they would understand, actually, that they, I mean, it's going to be like a very rude awakening, but they're going to realize They don't realize the dangers of asking the police to stay away. That's what I meant. But they also do understand and realize that they literally did ask the police to stay away from them, and now their just deserts have come upon them. So why is it with these people out there that treat God the same way, why is it they can't see they are doing exactly as a person that tells the cops to stay away when all their lives, and then you know, steer clear, don't mess with me, God, I don't want anybody. I've heard people on their deathbeds, I've heard that people saying on their deathbeds while, you know, a Christian walks into the room, oh, don't you be praying for me, you know. That's how far it could get. I mean, that person literally is in the scariest position any human could be, and still they won't cry out to God. So that's how bad it can actually get with some. But some out there, no. They look at God as like a, I always call this Ozzy Osbourne theology, because I read something that he said years ago, and the only reason I bring him up because he's an obviously very evil man, and he glorifies Satan. But he actually believes in his mind, because I used to read those rock and roll magazines when I was a teenager. He actually believes that you can use God to do some good things in your life, and you can use Satan to do some bad things in your life, and intertwine them if you want. And I had a laugh even as a teenager. I says, you know, you don't seem to realize, pal, that it's not God you're using. It's Satan on both counts, because Satan's going to make you think that the good things are happening via the Lord in heaven, and then he's going to think that, yeah, I'll help you out with the bad things now. But that's how some people think. This guy just went a little bit further with it, made a career out of it, and become a multimillionaire, and now he can't form two words without slurring because of his lifestyle. So why is it these people, you know, some people out there can't see this? They demand that God steer clear of them so they can party it up and sin as often as possible, only to find that when they do eventually need him, he refuses to help them, and they can't figure that one out. And no, I'm not illustrating that the Lord is an evil Lord, that he just, you know, loves to ignore us. He has given man free will, and when they embrace their own will over his, it's all on them as to the consequences. Especially like at the end of the 1,000 years when all that self-deception is wiped away. And I would assume some of it's going to happen on the great and dreadful day too, prior to the 1,000 years. You know, like the second coming. These people are going to realize that, yeah, they did this to themselves. They were their own worst enemies. They made the decisions. They knew it was wrong to do, and they did it anyway because it was fun to do at that time. Give up an eternal life, literally, never dying, and being happy for all eternity. They gave that all up for a few moments of pleasure, you know, with, you know, drugs or even the opposite sex, whatever the case may be. So you cannot blame God what you have done to yourself, but all of mankind still do that, even though if the same scenario was played out with the police, they would see it differently. But this reminds me of the person who, before getting on an airplane, hears a rumor that the pilot is a drunk. And then he does all he can to find as much info about the pilot as possible so as to not risk dying in a plane crash. Yet this very same person who is handed a track that confirms their pastors are drunk on Roman doctrine, the false wine of Rome. And they trust these wolves with their eternal life. And they ignore it and continue to sit in the pew to the church. And that very church will cause them to burn in hellfire. But a few moments of burning in a plane crash is more important to them than turning to ash in hellfire. Because hellfire, for those of you that are new to the theology we understand as it is written in the scriptures, no, you do not live for all eternity in hell, burning and screaming at the top of your lungs. That's not the character of our God. That's the character of Satan. The Bible's plain. It says the sin begets death. It also says that we'll walk on the ashes of those that are destroyed in that hellfire. And some people say, well, the Bible says that the fire is eternal. It's an unquenchable fire. Well, it says, yeah, just like a nuclear warhead. You start that bomb, you know, you flick the switch on that bomb. Okay, go for it. Try to put it out. It's going to burn until the fuel has been spent. So that's an unquenchable fire. Nuclear fission. It's an unquenchable fire. You can't put that out. Just like you cannot put out the fire that God starts on that day. And it's not nuclear or anything like that. It's a decision he makes. It's his strange act, as it's called. And that can't be put out because, you know, he's God. He's going to do what he said he was going to do, and that's it. Or here's another thought. What about the person that has a weather alert system in their home to make sure that when danger of a tornado is near, they can be alerted so as to properly prepare in a way. And there's nothing wrong with tornado alert systems. I have one. All right? And I have one on my cell phone when, like, if I happen to be out camping or something. There's nothing wrong with it. But I also prepare on the eternal end, too. But what I'm getting at here is some people will have these tornado alert systems in their homes to prepare them in case, you know, a tornado comes to prevent their deaths. But the very Bible they have in their own home is never open, that is filled with all sorts of warnings about their present walk in life. I mean, this is something that confused me to this day, how people are more protective of their flesh and bones during a lifetime that cannot exceed too far past 80. Yet they will totally ignore the bold and very well illustrated dangers regarding their life in New Jerusalem, where you can't count the amount of days that you'll be living. And their flesh and bones, just like Jesus illustrated when he resurrected, it is actually, a different body. It's an eternal body. But he still had the flesh and bones to show the apostles he wasn't no ghost. That's also another false theology, which I found out the hard way. Before I was a Christian, I used to mess with manifestations. And then after I became a Christian, I realized, okay, those were demons. So, Jesus illustrated when he resurrected that this life is actually the eternal life is actually the real life he planned for all of us. And it far exceeds those 80 years with ease to where you never die a physical death ever. All right, so let's go to number 13. I think I got enough time to do number. So yeah, we got 10 minutes left, so let's do it. Number 13. Why did the Lord refuse to give them any new counsel at that time? Like the verse we just shared, you would be inquired of me. Are you kidding? Ezekiel 20, verses 11 to 13 discuss this. And it says, "And I gave them my statutes, and showed them my judgments, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. Moreover, also I gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord that sanctify them. But the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They walked not in the statutes, or in my statutes, and they despised my judgments, which if a man do, he shall even live in them, and my Sabbaths they greatly polluted. Then I said, I would pour out my fury upon them in the wilderness to consume them." I mean, I always thought, this is pretty amazing. I mean, the Jews saw all 10 of the plagues hit Egypt. And this is no different than today, by the way, but I have to touch on this. But, I mean, they saw the Red Sea split. They saw the column of fire at night and the column of smoke all day long for those 40 years. They even saw manna fall from heaven 6 days a week and twice as much on Fridays for those 40 years. They saw the water come from a rock. Oh, by the way, I got a picture of that rock, too, where it's split in the center. It's huge. But they saw the water come from that rock. And they even heard the voice of God at Sinai. Yet still, they refused to obey the Lord that blessed and protected them. You know, what amazes me in this is the most blessed people, I guess you could say, But it's just like with the Christians today. I mean, some Christians actually say that if they were in the desert back then, that they would never deny the Lord. And, like the Jews did. And that's possible, yeah, because there were some people in that crowd, like Caleb, Joshua, and of course Moses and Aaron. Well, Aaron kind of got a little scared one day with the golden calf, and he, you know, put his faith in the wrong area there. But he grew up after that, obviously. But there could be some people in our world today that would think that, yeah, if I was to live at that time, I wouldn't have gone for that idiocy of getting all messed up with Korah and his friends. But yet today, as we look back in time to our generation, more prophetic events have come to fruition than in any other generation on earth. And this is one of the reasons I do the Prophecy in the News update on the main page of the website, to let people know. I mean, some of it's like, a lot of it's prophetic innuendo. It's there, and yeah, a lot of it's redundant because it just keeps happening. And I think the Lord allows it to happen that way to let them know how many times has somebody got to knock on a door before you're going to open it. And then you also have the big ones, the whoppers, like, you know, with the 501c3 image of the beast thing, or what they're doing with the TPP and all these other things that show that, or what just happened with the climate change, and it's going to be solidified, locked into global law, first time, global law, November 4th, when it comes to climate change. And we have been preaching about that for decades. And so hopefully some of the people that listened and called us idiots and shit and handed us little tinfoil bonnets to put on our heads, maybe now they'll start to realize that, and they will. Some of them will jump off the fence on the right side. But still, look around. There's many people out there calling them Christians that are doing far worse than the Jews did during those 40 years. Because the Jews at least had some kind of a smattering of the truth. But today, they don't even want to open up the Bible. And they call themselves Christians. I mean, today, the Christians not only deny God's law every week, not counting the other, you know, commandments that they break, they declare it abolished, no less, at the cross. And even though he sent them prophets whose warnings have been confirmed throughout the centuries to have come to fruition, they still embrace the man of sin, just as the prophets of old warned they would. They break God's law each and every week, and this includes all churches. Most, of course, keep Sunday holy, but those that keep Sabbath do so in an adulterous manner by echoing things from their pulpits. Even the Jews of old would never vomit in that desert. I mean, some of the things that are preached in the Ninth Hour Church, it's like, you've got to be kidding me. And this is one of the reasons the SDR Church is growing globally. And we don't have to get that big. It'd be nice if we only had 144,000, though. You know, that would be nice if everybody in this church was ready. But even here, you're going to have your naysayers. There's nothing you can do about that. Jesus had his Judas. But they have sermons in the Ninth Hour Church that declare Allah is God, even though all those declaring Allah God actually torture and kill Christians to the tune of one dead Christian every 2.5 minutes. And they're all over YouTube. I'm not suggesting look up the videos because you're not going to get that image out of your head for weeks or maybe months. It's not easy to watch. They also declare homosexuality accepted and sanctioned by God, even though there are many Old and New Testament verses stating it is still considered an abomination by our God. They install women as pastors, even though it is clearly stated in both the Old and New Testament alike that God only calls men to stand at the desk. And I'm not saying women can't do their duty. Look at Ruth. Look at Esther. Look at the mother and grandmother of Timothy. There's many women out there that are prophetesses as well, you know, even in modern times. Look at Ellen White. And they even go so far as to declare the health message. I kid you not. I got an article where the Seventh-day Adventist Church declares the health message quackery. It's on sdaapostasy.org. So they even go so far as to declare that the health message, as it is penned all throughout the Bible, is outdated, and so they eat things poisonous to the body and to the mind. What's truly strange about that is, in so doing, they actually contract all sorts of disease and still continue to eat and drink those things that are killing them and still call it quackery. Their own diseased bodies declare they messed up. And because their minds are polluted, they can't understand Scripture, especially prophecy, and they see no danger in going against God's law or even embracing holidays that preachers for hundreds of years warned them that were invented by Satan to remove the reverent love of God from their hearts. I mean, that all being said, is it any wonder the Lord backs off on these kind of people, like he said in Ezekiel 20, verse 3? Is it? I mean, is it any wonder, as wise and all-knowing as he is, do you think he would miss the fact that by their rebellious actions, they are boldly proclaiming they don't want anything to do with him, and so, as promised when he created them with free will, if they don't want his love and protection, he simply removes it. And it's not just the physical blessings removed either. All the churches, and this includes the Ninth Hour Church, no longer have the ability to understand the doctrinal or the prophetic word of God. They're out there defending the 501c3 as if it's no big boo-boo. Because that's as far as they'll go with it. They'll just say it's a little tiny, little scratchy boo-boo. That's it. No biggie. No big deal. Because they have the 501c3. They didn't catch it. They got caught off guard because in disobedience, just as we saw all throughout the Old Testament, the prophets cannot tell them, not do this, don't do this, don't do that. They can't tell them what's going to happen tomorrow. All the prophets can do at this point is tell them to repent. And so, when you refuse to repent, well, yeah, you're going to fall for such things as this. And this is also why their prayers are never answered. You can always tell a Christian by the way their prayers are answered. And it doesn't have to be answered right away either. The peace during the time span between making, or you know, declaring the prayer and having the answer is also part of the answer too. Because some people will give up after, you know, a few hours. I met a guy on the street, 45 minutes he prayed, and that was it. And so he became an atheist. I know people, myself, I've been praying for over 10 years for something. I'm patient. You know, if the Lord says no, well, that's fine. Because it's not good for me to have it answered in that manner. Or I'm not ready. And look at Elizabeth and Zacharias. You know, they wanted a child. The Lord was going to give them a child, but they weren't ready to have a child because the child that the Lord wanted to let them have was John the Baptist. And so they had to have experiences in life. They had to be ready for that prayer to get answered. Because if they would have had that child when they first started praying for it, he never would have been raised as a prophet. He never would have been raised properly. So don't give up on your prayers. Most of the, you know, well, all of them out there now, all the 501c3, their prayers aren't getting answered. And the church has become so weak over the last few centuries that it's easy to understand why now some people become atheists, Buddhists, Muslims, and whatever. Because man-made Christianity is as weak as any false religion today. And this is what makes Satan laugh from horn to horn. He's smiling horn to horn because he knows he was successful. He's gotten the weak ones to blame God for what they themselves did to themselves. And no one ever wants to take the blame for something they did, right? No one ever does. I mean, look at the video I just put up in regards to, and I was trying to tell the young in Christ. And it's not just the young in Christ that have to deal with these people that act like Korah. The way Korah slammed Moses and Aaron, and Korah and his friends. And all Moses and Aaron was doing was trying to tell them, look, you guys are in danger. Clean this up. Yeah. We know about your righteous acts. But we're not here to glorify you. We're here to help you get ready, you know, for the Lord. But no, they didn't want to hear about their sinful things. Preach on it with smooth things, you know. So that's why I did the video. Because this just doesn't end. And I can use it in a link out every now and then. But praise the Lord. As also promised unto those that love and obey the Lord, a remnant people will stand tall in the Lord, and soon the final prophecies will come to fruition, just as the hundreds that have already been fulfilled with uncanny accuracy. And I hope and pray that you are blessed by what was shared this Sabbath day. I'll be back in a minute.